Good morning. Wow. The first lesson is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading is found in Psalm 13, beginning with verse 1. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is found in the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel readings found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. All right, Lord, Heavenly Father, Jesus, in your name, open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our minds, Lord God, and God, show us wisdom. Show us how we can be wise with the light that you bear for such important purposes, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is week 6 in our 7-week series of 7 ways to be a light in the darkness. And up until now, we've talked about shining a lot. We've done a lot of shining. Today we're talking about give light. And there's a difference between just shining and the intentionality of giving. There are shiny Christians, What I mean by that is just there's these Christians that are just so bright and shiny for Jesus, they can't help themselves, and they just, you know, ooze Jesus, and it's wonderful. And I think about this guy, when I think of a shiny Christian, first guy that popped into my head was this guy named Key Yazzie that I met on, I used to do some work out in the Navajo Reservation in Many Farms, and I met Key out there, and he was the elected peacekeeper for the Many Farms. And what a guy! He had been one of the Indian school kids, if you know that history. So you know he had a lot of things to be angry about, but was not an angry guy. And then he was in the military. He was a code talker during World War II, and later in life he got saved and he became an evangelist. Had this ministry in Alaska for a while, but I met him in Arizona, and he was one of these guys where if we were somewhere anywhere. And there were strangers there, he would go to them, and within 1 minute, they were his friends, and within 2 minutes, he's already talking about Jesus. And he just, that was him. He just, he was what I consider to be a shiny Christian, okay? That's great. Those people are out there, and I'm not one of them, okay? I need to plan, I need direction, I need instructions, sometimes I need a little ribbing and prodding, but often I need encouragement, but to be able to give light intentionally, I think is just as powerful as just being shiny all the time, okay? And if we can do this, if we can give light, then lives are going to be changed. It's such an important thing to give light, the light of Christ, with intention and with a plan and with purpose. John 1 says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I think it's really important, two things there. Jesus didn't just come and shine, right? He came to give light. And he didn't come to just give light to some. He came to give light to everyone. This is the third or fourth week now where we have to remember that when God does something, he doesn't do it a little bit, he does it completely. If God is something, he's not just that a little bit, he is that completely. And if he is light, he gives light, not just to a few people, but he gives it to everyone. He wants everyone to be his and wants everyone to be saved. If Jesus is in us, if the light of Jesus Christ is in us, then we should have that same kind of compulsion to give light so that people's names are written in the book, okay? Daniel, we had this scripture from Daniel, and it's called an eschatological scripture. It's end of days prophecy kind of stuff, the great and terrible day of the Lord, all right? And it's talking about this time of historical, monumental distress in the world. It talks about everlasting life and everlasting condemnation. But it says this, Daniel says, but at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the book, will be delivered. And so we need to have this, if the Holy Spirit's in us, we need to have this kind of desire to give light to people because we know that their names need to be in the book. And that book shows up again in the New Testament. Paul writes about it, but it's especially in the book of Revelation. They call it the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. You guys probably know that about me by now, okay? But I am a whole truth. You tell the whole truth. And I would much rather love people into the kingdom than scare the hell out of them, okay? But this needs to be on our, this we need to be aware of this and have it locked in here so that we understand the whole truth. Revelation 20:15 says, anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. I'm not saying that. It's the word of God. If it's the Word of God, it is the truth. It's the whole truth. Now, this is the great thing about the Bible. If it's half-truth, then it's a lie. You with me? A half-truth is the same as a lie. But the Bible tells us the whole truth, whether it makes things look peachy and good or scary and bad, it tells us the whole truth. And we need to have the whole truth, the good news and the bad news. And we need to be able to do things with wisdom. Okay, so Daniel, going back to Daniel, Daniel tells us that wisdom is an important part of us giving light. Wisdom. He says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So wisdom is two places there, twofold, all right? It is wise for us to hear the good news, to open our ears, to open our eyes, to receive the gift of light, and to have our names written in the book. That's wise. It's also wise for us to intentionally give the good news and lead people to righteousness so their names are written in the book. But we need to do this with wisdom. Wisdom isn't just being smart, okay? Wisdom means that you have a plan and a purpose, or a purpose and a plan. Now, we as a church have a purpose. Our purpose is to love God, love others, and make disciples. That purpose is a light-driven purpose. Our plan is, how do we deliver that light? And what Scripture's telling us is that we want to deliver that light in such a way that people will open their eyes, receive the light, hang on to the light, and have life born in them, and so that their names will be written in the book. Wisdom is doing something with a plan and a purpose. So David, King David, writes in the psalm, we heard this part of the psalm, 13, beautiful psalm, and it's about opening your eyes and receiving the light. He says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. That's wisdom. The reality that if I'm in the darkness, it's an abject failure. But if I have the light of the Lord, then something else is possible. All things are possible. Okay? And he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. Now, this is so important, and I can't stress it enough, that if we're wise, that unfailing love is the delivery system of the light of God. You hear me? Unfailing love is the wise delivery system of the light of God. Because when we love people the way that they need to be loved, they will feel the safety and the strength of the word, of the message. And instead of shutting their eyes tight to it, they'll feel safe enough to open their eyes to it and hopefully receive it. Now, we can't force anybody to receive the good news. We can't force people to open their eyes. But we certainly have a better chance of them feeling safe enough to open their eyes if we love them unfailingly. And we don't give up. What does unfailing mean? I don't quit. I don't give up. And David says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. That is the end result. That's when the enemy loses, is when salvation happens, right? And I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In spite of everything David did, which was crazy amount of bad stuff that he did, God was good to him. And last week we talked about good deeds and the goodness of God. It's the unfailing love is the delivery system. It's so important. So, we give light wisely with God's unfailing love, God's goodness, and the hope of God's salvation. Now, if our eyes don't open and we receive it, if our eyes don't open and receive the light, we stay in darkness, enemy wins. And that's the sad part of the truth. I told you that the Bible is not afraid to tell us the whole truth. God can't lie. He can't give half truth. He gives us the whole truth. The Bible doesn't say, like, you know, many other religions' books say, Jesus came and everybody loved him and he poured wisdom and miracles on everybody and everything ended up perfectly hunky-dory. That's not the story of the Bible. John tells us he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's the sad news. It's the whole truth. Got to have the whole truth. Well, here's the good news. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This idea of being born, of a conception and a gestation and a labor and a delivery and a birth, this is what it means to give light to people. Because this is what formulates what happens. And people are either going to give birth to life and light, or we're going to give birth to death. You know, that's what James talks about. We'll get to that in just a second. Light reveals the truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of, Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those are two important words, grace and truth. Grace is a gift, right? Grace is not something you can earn. Either it's a given thing or it's not a given thing, but if it's not given, it's not grace. Grace is a gift. And truth is light, because they do the same thing. What does light do? It reveals everything. What does the truth do? It reveals everything. So we have to give the gift of light. We give grace and truth. We do that with unfailing love. There's good news and there's bad news. When we give light, we have to give the whole truth. What's the whole truth? What's the bad news? Start with the bad news. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. True? Every single one of us. Me, especially me. Bad news. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. What's the good news? The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, to all who believe in him. That's the good news. And the good news is way better than the bad news. But we need to give it all. Because if we only give part of it, then we're enticing people, we're tempting people. We're not telling them the truth. The light reveals all, grace and truth, but we do it with unfailing love so that it can be received. The gift of light throughout the New Testament, even Daniel talks about it, like I said, like a birth, like a conception and a birth. When Jesus talked about the word in parables, he talked about planting seeds. Right, the seeds are the word of God that have to be planted on good soil. They go deep in the soil. They spring. They root. They sprout. They grow. They bear fruit, and they multiply. That's the process. James, when he talks, when we read James 1, James shows both sides of the coin. I think it's very interesting. That temptation works the same way. He said that the temptation Actually, the devil does with temptation what Christians really should do with the good news. Except that we need to give the whole truth. And what the devil does with temptation is he just gives a little bit of truth and he leaves out the bad news completely, and then we're born to death. So this is what James said, that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. In other words, Satan says, all right, don't open your eyes. Just squint. All right? Just enough to just see enough that I want you to see. Okay? And oh, it looks good. And it feels good. And it tastes good. And you're going to feel so good when you do it. And then we go, oh, maybe that's true. And he doesn't tell us the whole truth, that once we do it, then we're going to need to do it again. And we're gonna feel the emptiness of not doing it. And then the more that we do it, that we're going to be slaves to it. And then as we're slaves to it, it's going to destroy our lives. It's going to destroy our marriages. It's going to destroy our children. We're going to lose our jobs and our health and even maybe our souls. Okay? That's what temptation does, because it's a little bit true. Does the stuff feel good? Yeah. Does it look good? Yeah. Is it going to kill you? Yeah. Jesus gives us the whole truth. And when we're born in the light, we're born to life. Every good and perfect gift, good and perfect, is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This is so great, who does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't lie. He can't lie. He can't break a promise. He always tells the truth exactly the way it is. So when God tells you something, it's not shifting around. You know it's a lie, it's temptation, when it keeps changing its story. Right? He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, the good news and the bad news, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He has plans for us, and those plans are good. Every good and perfect gift. And we are the fruit of that. It's so good. So how did Jesus give light? He did it with wisdom. He did it with intentionality. I want to give us a good direction, a plan for how we can deliver unfailing love, delivery system of love, okay? And I don't often recommend books, but I really got to say, I love the 5 love language books. Gary Chapman, the 5 love languages. If you're married, you should read the 5 love languages. Okay. And the premise is that every person has there's these 5 love languages, and every person has a top love language and a second love language. And if we all have love tanks, and if the love tank is empty, you need to be loved the way you need to be loved so that that tank will get full. Okay. And when your tank is full, you're going to be a much more loving person. All right. So what I've noticed through Scripture is that Jesus intentionally loves people the way that they need to be loved. He connects with them with that unfailing love, that delivery system of the truth, in such a way that they need to be loved, and often their eyes are opened because he's loving them. Does that make sense? He loves on them the way they need to be loved. So the first one here is words of affirmation. A lot of people need a kind word. Need a word of affirmation. And I think of people like the woman caught in adultery, or the woman with the 12-year blood issue, or Peter and Judas. People who needed judgment, And they were judged, but they were given love and light and a word of affirmation. Jesus called them, "You are my daughter. You're my daughters. You're my sons. You are my friends." He knew he was going to be betrayed and denied, and yet he called them his friends. Words of affirmation. You got physical touch. Jesus was never afraid to touch people who needed to be touched. In the Gospel of Mark, we're studying this on Wednesday nights, we get the first example of that. Simon Peter's mother-in-law, so sick with fever, she can't even move. And what any normal person, a smart person, would say, "I'm not going anywhere near that." But the wisdom of God is, "I'm going to go and take her by the hand," and he raised her up, and she was healed, and she served, right? He touched a leper. Right after that, he touches a leper. Jesus touches people who need to be touched. We need to be careful about how we do that, but we need to be willing to do that. Okay. Gift giving. God is a gift giver. God gave his one and only son. Jesus is a gift giver. In the Gospel of John, the very first thing that Jesus does, the first miracle, is, do you know what it is? Wedding at Cana. He turns water into wine, and he gives an enormous amount of the best wine for this wedding. He's a gift giver. Quality time. I always think of Zacchaeus. "I'm going to your house today. Invite all your friends." And it radically transforms Zacchaeus' life. For him to say, "I'm going to your house. I'm going to spend time with you." Mary sat at his feet. Quality time. And then acts of service. Jesus is a servant king. He washed his disciples' feet. That meant something to at least a couple of them. And we can be wise. If we would just pay attention to people for a couple of minutes, engage them in conversation, listen to their stories, it's very easy to find out how they need to be loved. Let me give you an example, okay? This is from when Claire was little baby in a stroller. We're living in Phoenix. In the summer in Phoenix, you go to the mall because it's air-conditioned, okay? So I'm strolling Claire through the mall, and we're passing this jewelry store, and there's a couple of moms there with their strollers, and they're stopped at the window of the jewelry store, and this all happens in about 45 seconds, right? So I hear one mom say, "I wish my husband would get me something like that." I have no idea what she was pointing at. And then the other mother said, "Oh, you can keep it. I just wish he'd be home once in a while." Okay, what did we learn in 45 seconds? That one person's love language is probably gift giving, and the other person's love language is quality time. So, say I'm a CMA person, you know, Christian Motorcyclists Association, or I got a pocket full of those little "you are blessed" angels, right? And you hear this, and you can go, "Hey, you know, I couldn't help overhearing you. It's not a diamond necklace, but I want you to have this. And I want you to know that the Lord loves you, that Jesus loves you." That's delivering love. That's prying somebody's eyes open just a little bit, right? To the name of Jesus. To the other one, "Hey, God would never take your husband's place in your life, but I want you to know that there's somebody who wants to be with you all the time, who never wants to be apart from you, who is glad to spend time with you. And his name is Jesus." Right? It's that easy if we're wise, if we pay attention, if we're willing to deliver unfailing love without fear. Give light. Do it with wisdom. You know, we have to understand that without the whole truth, the cross is empty. Right? But we can give the whole truth with love, and the cross is life. It's life. Jesus is the gift giver. of light. He came to give it all, but he wants to do it through us now. So don't be afraid and give light. Amen? All right.